joining us here on Sports Radio The Ticket, live from Texas, Kurt Apsey, the athletic director. Kurt, I know this is your first trip to the NCAA convention as an athletic director. How would you assess your experience so far?
It's been great. Yeah, I'm not sure I like talking to you guys over the phone. I'd much rather be there so I can watch over you a little closer. But it's been terrific. Seen a lot of people that I haven't seen in a while, some real good friends of mine that are athletic directors at other places that I haven't talked to in a while, and you know, the meetings and all the conversations that go on. So I've enjoyed it. It's been good.
So, Kurt, one of the things that happened there that made headlines everywhere was this conference championship for football that was re-decided now that you could have as few as 10 teams play a round-robin schedule. We think that's what was decided, and now it may change the future of BYU, for example, or the expansion of the Big 12. What's your take on that? What was the buzz on it down there, and what can you tell us?
Well, I don't think many were surprised. I think that people were, I think, guessing that that was kind of the way that it was going to go, and so, you know, people were running outside of the meetings just in astonishment that it happened. So I wasn't real surprised with what they ended up doing. You know, in terms of expansion for conferences, and maybe just take the Big 12, for example, because that's really at the end of the day what this was kind of all about. You know, I would certainly think that after today's vote, that expansion for the Big 12, you know, moving forward, would not be as aggressive as it might have been if the vote would have been another way.
Yeah. And on the other hand, the Sun Belt Conference is going to be voting on whether or not they'd like to, you know, stay at 12, which they'll be at after they let Coastal Carolina in 17. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So contraction could be on not only their idea list, Kurt, but maybe even some of those bigger conferences or others. Well, what's your sense of how this could affect contraction by conferences?
Well, I don't necessarily think that would happen unless, you know, maybe there's conferences or, you know, conferences maybe say in the Big Five that might go, you know, if we had less teams, we'd make more money now that we don't have to have 12. I don't foresee that happening. I don't see them going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think there's still some conferences out there that like the 12 teams and like the two divisions. They think that's a fair way to figure out the champion. I'm not, you know, saying I'm either way, but I don't see it going backwards. But I do think that what happened today will definitely have impact on expansion going forward. And, you know, as you guys know, most of those TV contracts are up, I think, in 2026, 10 years from now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to take that long for a conference to expand, but you know, that very well could be the case because of what happened today.
Does that change the timeline? Is the pace going to be a little bit faster, or will expansion happen in the same way that we thought it was a month ago or so?
You mean just in general, Mike, or are you talking about a specific conference?
No, I'm just talking about in general. I think we all agree that there's going to be another round of change. How that looks, we don't know. Will this make it happen sooner?
I don't think so. I guess I would say if it's going to happen sooner, it would probably be back to Jeff's question, is whether or not they either take teams away or they just don't expand. I would not think that it would be sooner based on what happened today.
Kurt Apsey is our guest. It's time to Ask the AD. You can just hashtag Ask the AD on your Twitter account. Aim it at KTAK 931 FM, and we'll ask away to Kurt. BYU is also looking possibly at some expansion in their future. They have television arrangements with ESPN. I don't know that they're signed as long as that. Boise State's got them on the schedule already. What does this ever change BYU's thinking that maybe the Mountain West Conference would be a home for them if they could get the TV stuff contracts worked out? And do you know when their contracts are up, Kurt?
You know, Jeff, I don't. I don't know when those are up. I would certainly think that, you know, Tom Holmo and their president and their people on their campus were certainly paying close attention to what happened today. And I don't know if it changes their plans or what they still want to try and do. I mean, I think they've made it, you know, pretty clear that if that opportunity was out there, they would try to take advantage of that if it worked for their institution. But I would say that based on today, I would think there's a lot of schools out there maybe at least changing or maybe understanding their place a little bit better in the climate of the NCAA based on the fact that they're probably thinking now that, you know, maybe expansion isn't as big of a possibility as it might have been before.
Kurt, can't we also say that stadiums expanding at non-Power 5 schools, just trying to position themselves for the future and schedule up and all that, could also be on the decline if there's going to be not much movement into Power 5 conferences, where you may see this leveling off and things that are happening in Fort Collins and Colorado State, for example, may, you know, be few and far between to see people wanting to dig dirt and spend millions on a football stadium for 6 or 7 events a year?
Well, you know, Colorado State, as you guys know, I mean, that plan's been in the works for a while. I don't know if that was the exact. I tend to think a little bit more that they were doing that because that was what was best for their athletic department. They wanted that stadium on campus. And maybe in the last couple of years, along with that idea of moving that stadium closer to campus, they obviously thought that, you know, that might be a great opportunity for them, should there be some spots opening up. But I don't think that was their initial thinking. Maybe it was a part of it. But I know that I've heard from a lot of folks there that, you know, they just really thought it was important to have that stadium on campus. In terms of just schools in general, you know, expanding their stadium because of conference expansion, I mean, I guess I could say that that's probably part of it, Jeff, but There's not a stadium across the country that's not going down in attendance. You know, if you're going to add seats, we've had this conversation about Boise State in the past. If you're going to add seats, you certainly have to feel good about being able to fill them if you do that. And, you know, conference expansion to me going forward, if that was ever a possibility or an opportunity for us or any other school, depending on where you went, you know, you would certainly have to look at that, because I think that, you know, if you're going into a bigger conference, more than likely you're probably going to sell some more tickets just because of the excitement of change and who's coming in and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of just, you know, expanding your stadium strictly for trying to get into another conference, I think you got to be careful about that. You know, we've talked about this in the past where I think it was whenever we added the curbs, 1996. I mean, it took us 8 years to fill that stadium when we went to 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not easy. And, you know, with all of the challenges now with putting people in the seats with television and late games and all that kind of stuff, I think you got to be very careful. Now, if you are invited to a big conference, I would say that you certainly probably have to look at something like that to keep up with the Joneses. I don't think you have to add, you know, get to 70,000 seats, but you certainly probably got to look at doing some additions to your stadiums, not just Boise State, but other places that might have that opportunity to move.
Kurt, speaking of selling seats, Saturday night, 8 o'clock, it's an ESPN2 broadcast, San Diego State, 2 undefeated Mountain West Conference teams in basketball. Boise State trying to set a win streak record, a lot on the line. I imagine you want to sell every one of those seats.
No doubt. I'm confident that Taco Bell Arena is going to be full. It's a blue out. Someone told me last week, you may know this, Jeff, better than I do, but I think it's the first time on ESPN or ESPN2 for basketball in Taco Bell Arena since 2002.
Wow, that's what we said the other, I think it was last week we were all discussing that.
I think it's 13, 14 years or something like that. So, I mean, hey, and it's not just because it's on television. It's a huge game. Our team is playing, obviously, very well. And when that place gets rocking and that building starts shaking, obviously our guys step up and play a little bit better. And I'm hoping that Bronco Nation comes out. I think it's just going to be a great night. Really, really looking forward to it. And I hope our fans show up to support our team.
Kurt, back to the NCAA convention. One of the biggest issues for this entire year has been the rights of student athletes. And the NCAA has come through, as you know, because you're paying the bill. They're getting $5,000, $6,000 of extra cash. Now, one of the bigger issues is time demands on these athletes. And I think that was a big issue with the NCAA convention. They table the issue because they don't have enough information. They want to look at it more. There's momentum for change. But what's going to happen in the future? What are they allowed, 20, 25 hours a week? Do we want to knock that down? Any specifics and details about the time demand on student athletes?
Yeah, you're right, Mike. They did table that, not on purpose. I think they want to make sure they gather all the facts and make sure they have the right information before they start putting forward recommendations to the committees to think on that. But I think one thing that they've done that's just been really impressive back here, and again, this is my first one, but I'm always close to it, the change in the involvement of the student athlete at conventions like this, and have our student athletes sit on SAC committees that are not only within our own institutions, but now they're actually serving on committees in the NC2A. In fact, some of them are actually, starting to have a lot of say and have the opportunity to vote. So the NC2A is leaning on student athletes across the country to say, what are your struggles? What are your challenges? And so, what better way to find out how hard it is to balance than to just bring student athletes into that fold and get their opinion and hear about that experience so that you can certainly, I think, make a better decision at the end of the day if you're talking to the people that have to go through it every day. So I'm actually excited about it. I don't know exactly where that's going to go, but I think the convention and all the people involved in the NC2A are going about it the right way. They're going to the source of the people that live it every day. And, once you can get all the feedback and do all the surveys of all the student athletes of how they feel about that stuff, I think you're better prepared to make a decision that benefits everybody.
Nobody thinks student rights is a bad idea, but was it so out of whack that we have to give them more money and then figure out a way for them to work less? I mean, that's kind of the employee world that we're looking at here, isn't it?
Yeah, JP.
I'm going to let you answer your own question. How's that?
That's trouble.
All right. I don't want to go back as to why it happened. It happened, and we've got to accept that. We've got to make sure that we try to manage that financially. And, at the end of the day, we talk about it in our staff meetings all the time. Our main job is to make sure that our student athletes are having the best experience possible. And if cost of attendance plays a role in that, then I'm okay with it.
Jeremy's asking us for you to comment on, these recent reports that there may have been a rift between Coach Harsin and Coach Drinkwitz, and now Coach Drinkwitz has moved on. Of course, yeah, we know you're all aware of that. But your experience of what that staff is and what it's about and their condition and all that, I'm sure fans would like to know, your perspective on the football program right now and their look for a new OC.
Well, first of all, I think you guys know this. I'm not going to comment publicly on what happens behind closed doors and in our offices and the relationships that our coaches have with each other and administration and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, I'm real happy for Eli. I think he's taking advantage of a good opportunity. He's got a contract that him and his family are comfortable with. He has certainly come out publicly and stated how thankful he is for the opportunity here at Boise State, and he's going to a Power 5 conference as an offensive coordinator. And don't get me wrong, it's a tough league. He's going to be challenged, but he called me the next day after he announced he was leaving and thanked me and the program for giving him the opportunity, and I wished him the best. So I hope that the decision he made is good for him and his family, and he certainly made it sound that way.
Kurt Apche is our guest. Ask the AD just a few remaining minutes about basketball. Doug asks Kurt that ushers ask him to sit down at games when fans stand up to tell the guys good hustle or they go on a big run, and that fans are asked not to stand. He's not happy about that. He's got 10 season tickets. I don't know if there's any truth to that, Kurt. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I don't. I'd be curious to know where he sits. Sometimes you're surrounded by some folks maybe in Taco Bell Arena that don't like to stand.
Right.
But if he's standing up and cheering and then sitting down, I mean, to me, that's all part of the basketball atmosphere. And people got to be allowed to stand up and cheer and clap, especially when, we're on a run or someone makes a great play. I mean, if I would just say this. If you're coming to a basketball game and you want to have 40 minutes of uninterrupted sight line without standing or sitting, that's going to be difficult for some of our fans. And, you know, I'd be happy to make sure that if they're upset with someone standing in front of them, that maybe we look at some other opportunities. I'm not trying to kick anybody out of the arena, but
no.
When you get excited about basketball, you got to be able to stand up and get loud and cheer on your team when we're on defense. And that's all a part of college basketball and supporting your team. So you probably need Adam to pick up the phone and give me a shout, and maybe I can help him out.
All right. Yeah, he said he's, I think it's Doug, actually. He said he's in the mezzanine.
Oh, Doug, I'm sorry.
That's all right. He said he's in the mezzanine level. I know you're taking time
for the mezzanine level. What the heck? Really?
I'm just telling you what he says. I know you're busy at this convention. You got to get back into these meetings, and a lot of fans will see you 8 o'clock on Saturday night for the San Diego State game. But thanks for joining us, and again giving this forum to the fans.
I appreciate it, Jeff, and also thanks for just being a little flexible on the time. But always glad to be a part of it. So thanks a lot.